Now, on the next play, which I think is a bigger subject, two things, and I'll let you start. One, odd man break, which I wanted to talk to you about because I feel as though that's happening way too often. But the bigger picture was a goal that Jake Oettinger would normally start, stop, gets beat on the short side, and you have a bigger picture with Jake that you wanted to talk about. So wherever you want to go.
Yeah. I mean, this is actually it's a play where Esa Lindell actually plays the 2-on-1 pretty well. Like it's a break, but Esa Lindell plays the 2-on-1 pretty well. Takes away the pass completely. Daniel Sprong is looking shot the entire time. And Oettinger gets beat 5-hole on this. And, he gets beat 5-hole on a clean shot. That's a shot that an NHL goalie, frankly, has to save. And we'll talk more about this, but I'll get into this topic now. Oettinger, it's been kind of an alarming, and Jake acknowledged after the game, he's let up 10 goals in the past two games, and they have 3 points out of four. So it's kind of one of the reasons, it's kind of one of the things I was alluding to at the top of the show where you're winning, so you can kind of work from a teaching, a positive standpoint to fix things. But Oettinger's last, and I sent this over to you, Gavin, as a
great as reference.
It's as a point of reference, and I'll make sure to put this. I'll tweet this out with the podcast episode when it goes out there, so people can see it as well. But so Oettinger for the season has been pretty. I mean, shots on the ice through the 5-hole, pretty good, really good actually. 90, let me make sure I've got it right here. He's got a, here it is, 92% save percentage on shots through the 5-hole this season. Past five games, 81% save percentage on shots at the 5-hole. And it's something where if you look at the way Oettinger's been playing and you look at him and he's just not as he's not as calm right now. Like he's not as composed. He's not as calm. He's a little bit more hectic. And one of the places you see that to start to break down is with the stick position and on the ice. And you see in the 5-hole, and we're seeing some more holes right there on the ice with an Oettinger lately. And that's something that is concerning because you can't have those type of holes. The goal he allowed that first goal, that's a goal he cannot allow as an NHL goaltender, especially as you go into a playoff series or anything like that. You have to make that save.
Yeah.
With Oettinger, I wonder, and I've brought this up on the podcast before, we're at the spot where he wants to be a number one, and he is a number one by current NHL standards. But if he wants to be an elite Vezina level goalie, he's hitting that mark. He's hitting a mark where Andre Vasilevsky doesn't hit a wall at 54 games. Connor Hellebuck doesn't hit a wall at 54 games. Jake is kind of at this spot. He's maybe his 54th, played his 54th game maybe the season last night. He played 55 NHL games last year, and he was a little bit more spaced out and everything like that. Like the consistency, and if you want to be that guy who's a top five goalie in the league, you got to be able to take care of yourself. You got to have that consistency that, and I'm not saying that he doesn't take care of this. I'm just saying this is also a mental thing. There's a line of where do you go that, how do you avoid the drop off when you've played your 55th game of the season? How do you do that? And this is where we start to see the maturity and the definition of, is Jake, and also frankly defines what the Dallas Stars will look like over the next couple of years. Is Jake Oettinger a 1A, or is Jake Oettinger a true number one? And that is what we're going to learn. And I hope he's a true number one, because maybe this is just two bad games and he gets through it. But if he's going to be good for 50 to 55 games a year, you can't be signing the Scott Wedgwoods of the world. You need a 1B, a true 1B, that really pushes. You need a, all of a sudden, if Jake Oettinger is a 1A, he's kind of he's in the spot where you start to look at, like, he's making the $4 million right now, which is, I think, is a fair value for someone who's a 1A. But from Jake's perspective, if when he becomes an RFA of 25, 26, if he wants to make more than, if he wants to be, if he wants a raise into that, like, true bona fide number one money range, he's got to be, he's got to prove he's a true number one. And it's one thing to do it on a level of when you come in and you're playing and you're getting 50 starts in the season and then you're going into the playoffs. It's another thing to do it when you're getting the 50, 60 starts in the season, you're consistent throughout. I think we're just about to learn a lot about Oettinger for better or worse, yeah, of how does he handle, this is kind of a wall he's got to fight through. It's almost like sometimes we talk about like a rookie wall with like guys we've talked about with Wyatt Johnston, where we're like, oh, is it going to be game 60? Is it going to be game 70? When is Wyatt Johnston going to hit a wall? Like, there's a goalie wall. There's a goalie wall, mm-hmm, that some guys can fight through and some guys can't. It's the reason that one of the reasons, like a guy who is the classic version of an NHL backup, Yaroslav Halak, right? Yep. Yaroslav Halak is someone who is a great backup goalie in the league if he's playing 40 games. But anytime he starts to, I've talked to people in the, to goalie coaches who look like anytime you start moving past the 40 game mark with Halak, his game would start to falter. And that's kind of the difference. And so Oettinger, he needs to get more secure. He needs to clean up his game. The five hole is concerning right now. And even some of the goals he let up, and we'll continue to go through this, but like even some of the goals he's let up in the past two games, even on ones where they were great chances, I'm not exactly liking how he's looking save selection wise and how he's coming across, where it's not the same confident, smooth, composed Oettinger we saw in Calgary, where some of those goals, I'm not upset as much. This one, I'm upset about the goal itself, but there are some of the goals where I'm not as much upset that the puck went in. I'm more upset in how Oettinger looked as the puck went past him, because there's some of the cases where you're like, okay, you know what? That's a blown defensive coverage, but I'm still concerned about how Oettinger played it or how his balance was. Like, there was a two on, as we go through this one, there was one in both this game and the Calgary game where it's a 2-on-1 where Oettinger at his best gets across clean and stays up. He may not make the save, but he gets across clean. In this one, he ends up, he's ending up on his back, which tells me there's some balance off there. So it's, I know I'm armchair quarterbacking this, but when you want to win a Stanley Cup and the Stars have legitimate Stanley Cup aspirations, Stars had to go get Ed Belfour to win the Stanley Cup in 99. You need a goalie. You need goaltending to not be something we're discussing like this if you're going to win a Stanley
Cup. And I wonder if the 1B, Sean, goes back to the contract of Ben Bishop and then the contract of Anton Khudobin, and then those resources were spent, so therefore you had to go out and get a Wedgewood. So you thought you had those options.
And that may be the case. And that's frankly what Dallas did last year when they had signed Braden Holtby last year too. And they kind of worked all that stuff together, and that's fine. Just it's the key question of, if you're Dallas, and especially with, like, it's kind of, you talk about Wedgwood's injury, like the fact that what was supposed to be a short-term thing is now nagging and everything like that. Like, to me, all of a sudden you're at the spot where you're Dallas, like, you kind of have to be thinking about, are we looking for a 1B this coming off season? Because you may be having to, like, if it's just the reality of it, the most valuable thing a backup goalie can have, and Scott Wedgwood doesn't have it right now, is health. You can't have your backup be the guy who gets injured. Like, it's very cruel to say it this way, but Scott Wedgwood is not valuable to the franchise if he's not durable, because you need the backup to be ready.
Yeah.
And the
other question is have they seen enough Murray?
It's same thing with that. Like, I didn't mind what he did.
Yeah.
But I also, I'm also not sold on if I needed to start, if I needed to start him in a do or die game, would I be, would I do it? I do it. I don't think so. So that's, it's very, the goaltending situation is something where I know it's easy to be like, oh, well, we saw what Jake did in the playoffs last year against Calgary. And that was great.
Yeah,
that was great. And maybe this is just a two game skid, but it's, the key right now is we need to learn how Ottinger comes out of this. We need to see what he does. I'm happy that he came out and acknowledged he needs to be better. That's, I think that's a big step for a young goaltender and everything like that. So it's just, it is an area of concern that is real.
Yeah.
And you're going to get, you may get this Seattle team in the first round. It's, this was possibly a first round playoff matchup preview. And before the last couple games, you would have been like, okay, the Stars have an edge in goal. Right now, based off the last two games, they don't. Now, maybe we're overreacting two games, maybe, but maybe it's a trend. We need to give Ottinger the next week to basically kind of tell us who he is for the rest of the season.
I would also say that I think the quality chances that the opponents are getting are better than the first half of the season.
It's fine. You're
right. I totally agree with all the points you said about Ottinger. Yeah. And I think you know me well enough. I'm an Ottinger guy, you know, have been since his Hockey East days. I'm a big fan. But at the same time, I completely agree with you. He needs to be better. And that wall, you're right. It is the perfect time to discuss the wall. I just think these odd man breaks. I mean, to me, it's like, I understand that's part of DeBoer's system. But if it continues to happen like this, there has to be a point where the coaching staff says, you know, we got to be better. And if our defensemen are going to pinch in the offensive zone, you got to make sure the forward's paying attention and not letting someone get behind you. And or you got to push back. Yeah. So you alleviate. I just feel like, and I don't want to, you know, not just, I feel like we're back in Lindy Ruff days, but I mean, I remember when Lindy Ruff was coaching, it seemed like that would happen on a regular basis where there were all these odd man rushes against the Stars, and they had great success in those years too. So it's just one of those things where I understand, you know, it's that fine line between you want more offensive hockey, but you don't want to be, you know, caught in the offensive zone. You need to get back.
Yeah. So. And that's a perfect segue to, so we go to the second period, right? Where the McCann goal, which is another, it's one of those where it's the odd, it's the 2-on-1 nice play by Eberle. Eberle's been, I mean, I've said this before. I knew Eberle was good, but I feel like he's found like another level in Seattle since he went there. But nice play by him to set up McCann and everything like that. But it's one of those plays where McCann's just kind of able to sneak in.
Yeah.
No one goes in with him. And I also really don't like, you talked about Hakanpaa on the Tanev goal. Like as Esa Lindell played the 2-on-1 really well that Sprong scored on, I thought Hakanpaa just kind of got caught in no man's land. And it was, well, it was a 2-on-1. It felt more like a 2-on-0. So that one was, that one's not as much on Ottinger. And the only issue with Ottinger is he comes across, he's not looking as balanced as he normally is. But on that one, it comes back to more and more of the question of, like, Nils Lundqvist should play the next game. If Nils Lundqvist doesn't play the next game, I have no understanding.
We start asking, what's going on.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I will add, and this is one thing for, like, Stars fans that I like doing. I don't know if you do, Sean, but, you know, when a goal happens, I hit pause, and then I go back. Because I want to watch like the previous minute before that. And what you would see was actually the Stars were on a 3-on-2. So they had the odd man rush and they were putting pressure on Seattle. But, you know, then they got caught. And that's what's kind of interesting. It was up and down hockey for a while. But, you know, for the Stars to be on a 3-on-2 odd man rush and then the other way it comes 2-on-1, you know, clearly, you know, someone lost coverage. And you're right, Hakanpaa. I just felt as though at that point, you know, I don't want to read his mind, but I just felt as though it didn't have that like aggressive confidence that you'd like out of a defenseman. It kind of like he was just backing up and didn't aggressively figure out, all right, what am I going to do?
You either got to take the pass away.
Right.
He didn't, or you have to go take the, you have to, or you have to close faster or you have to close faster. And he didn't do that either. He just did the no man's land thing, and it was the worst possible thing to do in that situation.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So the Stars make a comeback. It brings up the Ben Dodonov Johnston line. Boy, they've played so well. You know, what I love about that, where Wyatt Johnston had the goal on the offside, terrific pass by Jamie Benn through the crease. But if you look at it, I think Dodonov thought the pass was coming to him. But what I love about this NHL veteran is the little things, and he knew to get into the front of the net, which curled off two Kraken players, which left the Wyatt Johnston wide open. He dove because he thought the puck was coming for him. But the fact that he was in the right space that allowed the Kraken had to make a decision, and they made a split-second decision, left Wyatt Johnston open. Terrific pass for Ben. I mean, this line has just been so great this year, and I just have such confidence when the three of them are on the ice.
Yeah, I mean, Dodonov's been such an underrated...
Underrated, wow.
Underrated signing for...
Yeah.
Trade. People will look... And it was, I mean, when they traded away Gurionov, part of it was addition by subtraction with Gurionov, but they have gotten so much more than I think they would have expected with Dodonov. And it's like, Jim Neal deserves a ton of credit for that deal. So,
yeah, I completely agree with you. And, you know, it's to the point where, hey, Stars Twitter, it's okay. Let Dennis Gurionov score goals. I mean, I'm happy for him, but you got to look at what you got, you know, in return. Yeah. Okay. So we already talked about the Tanev second goal, 5:15 remaining. A goaltender interference is called, against Max Domi in the crease, real nice shot from Ty Dellandrea. But unfortunately, you know, he was pushed into the goalie, but I felt as though that was the definition of goaltender interference. Cause although he was pushed at that point, I felt as though Domi was straight up and didn't really make a move outside the crease. I wanted to see what you saw on that.
Yeah, it was one where the lack of... I'm not as much concerned about the push. It's more of the lack of effort by Domi to get out of the crease. There's a difference between being on the edge of the crease and looking like that, and then there's just standing literally where the goalie would normally play his position and showing no effort to move. And that's kind of... For me, I'm okay with that being. I'm happy with that one being goalie interference for that.
So. Yeah, yeah. So the Stars go extra attacker, and clearly they've practiced this. And if they haven't, I mean, kudos on that play. Ben with once again another amazing pass to a streaking Dodonov coming off the bench. And my question for you is, did he mean to pass that to Pavelski? Looking at the stick angle, it appeared he did. Pavelski with a tap in. I just thought it was a beautiful play with the extra attacker coming on the ice.
Yeah, I mean, whether it's an intentional pass to Pavelski or a shot pass to that area, I think it's drawn up that way where the Stars know that, and the Stars are very good, especially with the extra attacker, of making sure there's someone around there with their stick on the ice around the net. And that's something where being new to Dallas and everything like that, and Dodonov, you know, Joe Pavelski's going to be there. You know, someone's going to be there. So you work on that stuff. You work on building that up. And that's a great play. So
it really was. And then frantic final moments. And Jamie Benn, with 0.7 seconds left, scores to tie up the game. And so I did something interesting because, you know, during games, a lot of people, you know, Stars aren't getting calls and everything like that. So yeah. I went to Stars Twitter, and then I went to Seattle Kraken Twitter. A little bit of a difference there. And let's just say Jamie Benn created space to get in front of the net.
It's a cross check, but also at the end of the day,
it was a great play.
It's a play that I'm not from, and I hate to say it this way, but because it's true, because I'm someone who believes that you should call penalties the same way, whether it's in the last second or the first second of the game, but from a situational awareness as a player, especially as we go into the stretch run, you know, anything goes in front of the net. It's just the reality of it. Whether you like that or not, it's true. And that's so Ben created space. He finishes the play. Stars force overtime. And
Yeah.
I something I want to bring up right now, just
Yeah.
because
Yeah.
people are always so on that play, we talked about Miro already getting some offensive. Miro Heiskanen had his 50th assist of the season last night
Wow.
on that 50. So, yeah, but you go into this year and everyone talks about like, you know what? Miro needs to do more offensively. He needs to do more. He'll never win a Norris because of that. He has as many assists as Rasmus Dahlin. Do you remember when Rat like seriously, remember the start of the year when everyone's like, oh, Rasmus Dahlin is redefining the defense? Like he has as many assists as Rasmus Dahlin. He's four away from He has four less than Josh Morrissey, who has played two more games. Like he other I mean quit so he's in a group with him, Adam Fox, Dahlin. They're all between 50 and 54 points. Obviously, Erik Karlsson is having an incredible year with 65 assists already for San Jose. And Quinn Hughes is having a quietly as quiet Quinn Hughes is having as quietly as good as an offensive as a defenseman can on a very bad team and has 62 assists. Like Quinn Hughes, I think there would be more noise about what Quinn Hughes is doing this season if he had more than 5 goals. But like Miro Heiskanen is he won't win it this year, but you talk about the offensive base to win a Norris, it's there now. Like it is there. It is the offensive base to win a Norris Trophy is there, and now it's all about it just starts to become more and more of the reputation thing. So it's so that's good. It helps the Stars get a point, and then you go to overtime.